and Fast and Furious movies had that sod as like a tribute to him.
Oh, yeah. Paul
Paul
Walker.
Walker, yeah.
Furious 7.
You know a lot about the Fast and the Furious.
I don't watch the. I've never seen a movie for Fast and Furious.
Me neither.
I feel like one of you is lying.
I've only seen Tokyo Drift.
I could be lying or
Okay, hold on. I just need to see where the heck I'm recording to. See users video. That's fine. Okay. Are we ready?
So the topic for today is pla er and socializing.
Pla and in social.
Okay.
Hola.
All right, I'm gonna be shy. Okay.
All right. NPC talk. All right, everybody. Welcome to episode 53 of NPC Talk. My name is Inkronaut, and today is March 11th, 2022. All right, man. There's just been a lot going on, but you'll hear it all in the episode. So let's get right into it. Enjoy, everyone. What is up, everyone? Welcome back to NPC Talk. It's been a long time. That is all my fault. But we're back. I am here with Buta. Daniel, what's up?
What up?
Hello. And Dojian Von Trappy family. Servat 23. Roger. What's up?
29.
Is it 29? Oh no. I said 23 on your birthday message.
Oh, what's up?
What's up? Okay. I want to update the people with my life first, because I am selfish and my life is the most important. I moved, right? I haven't spoken with you guys on NPC Talk since I moved. Right,
I
guys?
don't know. When did you move? It's been a long time.
Okay, I don't think I think I moved and we haven't recorded since. I feel like this is a lie. But
I have no
okay,
clue.
well, I moved and it's been very busy. I moved in November, so it's March now. So I've been here for 1, 2, 3, 3 to 4 months. And in those 4 months' time, it's been a lot of building, cleaning, learning, and hiring professionals to fix things. And I fixed some things myself, but anyway,
Handyman.
I try really hard, and yeah, and with all that and a baby on the way, you know,
Woohoo!
yeah, thank you, yeah, in a month and some change,
The countdown.
yeah, I should have a countdown. It's just been busy. And I am so we're doing my wife and I we're doing a virtual baby shower. We're doing four iterations of them because 100 people on Zoom sounds terrible. And so we're doing like one with my family, one with my wife's family, and then friends and friends. And so
Dear God.
yeah, so you guys are invited. Not the audience. Daniel and Roger, you guys are invited.
Sad to the audience.
And so one reason I wanted to have this podcast before the baby shower is because there is so we're gonna be playing Jeopardy, kind of like Jeopardy for the baby shower, like just as a fun game. And instead of like buzzing in and one person answers it, each question has a separate Google form, and we like everyone answers it. So it's like a fun, like I don't know, way for everyone to interact. And so in order to Like, it's too, I feel like, I mean, unless you're on, no, there's just no good way to send. I mean, I guess I could send the Google form in the Zoom chat, but I felt like that might be too difficult if, like, people are, I don't know, on Zoom on their iPad or something. So on Inkernaut.com, I set up a page that has the links to the Google Forms so that you can just go to that page and just click it. So it's just way easier. And I did not want to hear people say, "Hey, is the podcast back on?" when they go to Inkernaut.com, because that means they're not listening to this podcast that we're recording right now. And so this is what this episode is for. And if you ask that question, I will be very mad. Listeners, this is to you. Listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
right.
Back.
What?
Never mind. Sorry.
I missed it because I was yelling. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Daniel, how's your life?
Busy. The usual church stuff. We have since, after everyone caught COVID, we have since gone back to normal again. So everything has become back in person, which means more craziness.
How have the COVID cases been since the outbreak that you guys had?
Nothing now. Pretty much.
Pretty hype?
Question mark. Nothing that we're aware of, at least. Omicron, why?
The Christmas outbreak was insane. Like, literally, not literally, but a lot of people I know got COVID. And I'm glad that the peeps were vaccinated, so nothing too serious.
But which peeps?
The people I know who got vaccinated. I mean, sorry, who got COVID were vaccinated. So it hasn't been anything serious.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. So are you, what's your relationship status? Because I believe last time on the podcast, you went on a first date.
A third first date?
I was just going to say a first date.
We are currently girlfriend boyfriend.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. We are figuring things out still because there's a lot to think about. And I am realizing more and more that I am a worrier.
A worrier? I.e.
about where to live, about money, about ring cost, then wedding cost, and
oh yeah,
all this stuff, you know.
Wait, you're getting married?
Well, if we're thinking about it for the future, gotta plan ahead, you know, save up.
True.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Crazy.
I will say you're not weird for having those worries.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, unless you're a freaking baller, like one out of three of us here.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we had those worries too, definitely. Dude, ring costs are insane.
Did she expect it?
Yeah, we... Yeah. Okay. My wife and I went ring shopping together because I ain't about to buy a really expensive product that the wife is going to wear for the rest of her life, supposedly, and not have her opinion on the one that she absolutely wants. Do you trust my opinion on diamonds and jewelry? I don't think so.
Yeah, nope.
Yeah. No, so yeah, we went ring shopping together. She didn't know what she wanted either, so it was a good thing to kind of just learn about rings and stupid rocks and kind of And then we decided together, and then I bought it on my own. And yeah.
Oh,
I have breaking to diamond industry. What was that, Roger?
Oh, I have a joke. You should get her Elden Ring.
That's nice. Joke.
Thank you.
I wish I didn't have to ask you, Roger, how your life is, so then we can go straight to Elden Ring.
Oh.
As a transition, because that would have been sick. But it's not, because how's your life, Roger?
It's okay.
Have you been going to judo and or rock climbing?
Yeah, I still go to judo and rock climbing. I guess since the last update, I'm now promoted to green belt in judo. But I still feel like a white belt. But yeah, for rock climbing, I don't know. I'm still like a noob at rock climbing, still doing like the beginner V0s, V1s. Just trying to build up some upper body strength in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess I don't really have much to say else for those two physical activities.
We have a friend, Roger and I, who I believe he is the one who introduced you to rock climbing, I suppose. And he posts videos on his Instagram of just like his climbs, and I'm like, dude, those look really hard.
Yeah, those are like very, very, very hard.
Yeah.
Like, it'll probably take me 2 years or 3 years plus of even getting to that level.
Dang. Hey, look, if you're out there and you're listening, know that what's a word for jealous, but like in like not a negative tone, like impressed but also jealous at the same time?
Envious.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If you're out there, I'm envious of you because you're better than me at video games and physical activities, and that means I have nothing going for me.
Agreed.
Roger, how's your social life been doing all these social activities outside your home?
Is this a...
I don't talk to anyone.
I've learned to embrace the podcast silence. Tony, you don't talk to anyone, so you don't have any friends out in judo?
I don't know, like, the only times when I talk to them is like, hey, do you want to partner up?
Hmm.
Sure, okay, I'm going to choke you now. yeah, I guess like that's that, but I don't really do any small talk. Well, the last week, there was a 86-year-old judo sensei.
Wow.
And during the sparring moment in class, I was like off to the side taking a break, and then he was like, hey, what's up? And then he randomly told me that he's like he has a PhD in computer science.
Oh, cool.
And he started talking to me about like programming languages, and then I was like way too tired from all the activity, and I just like nodded my head like, oh, okay. And he's like, hey, do you know about Ada? Back in my day, we did like safety critical stuff. And so, do you know what an axiom is? And do you know what a postulate is?
Wow.
I just kept like, I was like, and he's like, oh, well, an axiom is da 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 da. And then I'm like, okay.
What a nerd.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe he was just excited that like he found another engineer person.
Instead of
right before he threw you.
Yeah. I think. Well, he's too old to actually be doing like sparring and stuff. And he just taught me like some judo basics in regards to grip fighting, like where, like how you should pull or push the opponent and how like you should move your arms and wrist to kind of off balance them. But yeah, I guess that was cool. I don't
Yeah.
know.
What a knowledgeable dude.
Are you dang, you know, I haven't socialized in a long time, so there I have no words don't come to my head anymore. Are you like not changing, but like when you're finished and you're, I don't know, cleaning up or whatever, are you doing it closer to your peers like we requested?
Oh, I don't clean up.
No, I mean not clean up, but you know, like I don't change, I guess, or put your crap away.
Oh, I no, I just leave with my judo gi on.
Okay. So,
Nice.
I'm out of there ASAP.
what about like shoes?
Oh, I just have slippers for easy put on.
So you don't.
Anyway.
So before you used to do it in the corner away from the class, and now you've learned how to completely mitigate all of that by just running as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I have no words for this.
Yep, that's my social life.
So I'm in hardcore quarantine because I have a pregnant wife and I don't want her to get COVID because that is no good news for the baby. So I'm staying at home and the only people I talk to are when my neighbors are like, you know, when I'm outside doing garden work and my neighbors are also outside, sometimes they'll come and say hi. It's kind of awkward because I don't have a mask on, right? Because I'm like in my own property. So when they come to talk to me and they don't have a mask on, I don't want to be near them, right? Because, you know, I don't know where these people have been. Probably at Ragers. And so I'm like, hey, I'm gonna stay in my driveway and yell at you. Small talk. And yeah, it's not great. And so I'm hoping once COVID's kinda, or you know, once you have a baby and she's vaccinated, you know, maybe I can kind of be a little more social. But until then, I'm like so awkward. And then like I haven't talked to people in a long time, so it's just real bad. We have a neighbor behind us, so like our house is like in it's like at the bottom of two hills, so it's kind of like a valley. And the neighbor behind us on a hill came to our home because apparently one of like the oak trees in our property that goes over their house, like, grows caterpillars. And so they want to spray that tree to like stop the caterpillars from growing and becoming moths and annoying them. And so he came over, like he knocked on my door. And so me not being able to socialize, right? I haven't talked to people in a really long time. Me not being able to socialize, me being, I would say, like blindsided by this guy coming over and giving. Someone just rang on my doorbell. Okay, I'll be back. You guys,
Monka.
fill space. Go.
Do you think he's gonna return?
I don't think he's gonna return. I think it's the neighbor, probably. Reading his doorbell about the caterpillars again.
You heard him
Yeah.
talking.
Yeah. He's like, hey, I've heard you talking behind my back. What'd you say about me?
I
Maybe.
wonder what it's like to be a homeowner, though, to have all these different worries, to actually have neighbors.
I feel like it would be like Animal Crossing. I don't know. Gotta pay off
Then
the mortgage.
it'd be like Animal Crossing if you never leave your room, though.
Oh yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
Do you talk with any of your neighbors?
Not really. Well, me personally, I don't, but my parents do. So, yeah, I never really had any need, I guess, to talk with my neighbors.
I'm back.
Oh, hi.
Hey. It was just packages. I don't know why they rang my doorbell. So, anyway, nice. So this guy blindsided me and then gave me a lot of information about how caterpillars die through this poisonous thing. And on top of that, I'm worried about my wife's safety, like with poison spray being like sent into my backyard. So those three things combined means like I'm not like a friendly neighbor. So I feel like I had like this really like bitch face going on. And I'm like, what? You're spraying poison into my backyard. Is this safe for pregnancy? Do we need to follow precautions? Do we need to like avoid our backyard for X amount of time? And I'm doing all these things. And he's like, okay. I'll call the company, ask these questions and get back to you. Right. And so I'm like, okay, fine. And so I was like a really mean neighbor. And then we ended the conversation and I call him back a week later and I'm like, hey, like, and I'm like in a better mood now, right? Cause I was talking to my wife about this and I'm like, man, I felt like I was really mean and I could have been nicer about this whole thing. She's like, yeah, it's fine. And so anyway, so I call him back and I'm like, hey, so what's the update on the poison you're spraying into my backyard? And he said, he's like, oh, like the poison is not toxic, but like because of your fervent worry over your wife's health, we decided not to do the spray this year. And they said they've been doing the spray yearly for like 50 years. It's an old guy.
What the?
Yeah. And he's like, this year we decided not to do it because we don't want to worry you guys about your wife's health or if something does happen. He says, like, I promise you it's not poisonous, but if something did happen, like, I couldn't forgive myself. And then I was like, oh, okay. This makes me feel really bad because I was such an asshole the week before that I influenced your 50-year tradition of spraying poison into our backyards. So.
It sounds really nice, though.
Oh, but non-toxic poison.
Yeah, non-toxic poison, but like, but you know, I don't know. And he,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, he, I thought he was pretty weird when from my first impression, but after his decision over the phone, I've since gotten a more positive impression of him, because that's really nice to think about. And I hope, Ken, if you're listening to this, I apologize for being an asshole, and thank you for worrying about the safety of us. And I hope moths do not destroy your home this year.
Thank you, Ken.
Shoutouts.
Please subscribe.
Please, yeah, dude, Ken, if you're listening, subscribe. All right, let's talk about video games. Which game do you guys want to talk about first?
Claw.
All right, let's talk about Pokemon Legends Arceus. I beat it recently. Daniel beat it before me. Probably has more hours than I do. Kind of bum rushed towards the end because.
Well, I'm still kind of playing it, so.
I played it yesterday to prepare for today.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, Daniel. And then Roger has it. But you're still kind of in the beginning, right?
Yeah, I just started-ish.
Hype. All right, Daniel. Daniel, what do you think of the game?
I think I'm realizing more about myself that I like sneaking games. And I kind of blame Roger for this, for introducing me to it. Because of Metal Gear, I think. But, like, ever since then, and I started, like, playing some sneaking games, I've realized that I really enjoy it. And so I really like that aspect of Pokemon now, where you can sneak around and then back attack somebody. Or, well, I guess technically back catch a Pokemon.
backball them, put your balls into their backs.
Yeah. Exactly. yeah. It's so fun. I find that part just mindless fun. So I've ignored basically all the side quests. And I've just spent all my time just catching things, basically.
That is actually so sick that you're able, that you learned like something. I would say that that's like a pretty big thing to learn about yourself, especially in our age. Like, that's pretty cool. And now that you mention it, that is all you say about the game. When I complain about it, you're like, just hide in the grass and throw balls. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's so nice. That's all I've been doing.
Yeah, the game, man, Pokemon Legends Arceus, it's a game where, so Pokemon's been a franchise, literally the first Pokemon game, Red and Blue, that came out when I was in, I want to say second grade. So I was 7, and now I'm fucking 34. I'm 34 now. So this game's been out for almost 30 years. And that's crazy. And so you would think that the game over those however many years has evolved a lot. And the answer is no, they haven't. The Pokemon Company decided to just keep their formula exactly the same. And instead of trying to cater towards the the aging audience, they decided to just cater to the 10-year-olds of every generation.
I like how you put that. We're not growing. We're just aging.
Well, I don't want to say growing audience, like, because it could be like growing bigger, but like aging, right? We're just getting older. As the audience evolves, matures.
Oh, I love the word choice. Growing bigger.
So the formula's been the same. Each Pokemon game has kind of like just been the same, and so Pokemon Legends Arceus is like the first mainline game where they really took that first step of like trying new things, changing up the formula, making the game the same but also really different. And it's like really commendable, but also like it's still like behind the times of like current day gaming game design. And so when I play the game, it's hard because I'm being conflicted between like, I like this game a lot because it's so much better than previous games, but at the same time, like, would I consider it a good game as a standalone game? And the answer is yeah, it's fun, but like, there's better games out there still. So like, when I'm thinking about the game and rating it, like being conflicted by those two ideas has been like very staggeringly difficult for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. It definitely is innovative, but yeah, I agree with you. There's just something about it. It still kind of feels simplistic. It feels like there, I don't know if it's like gameplay or if it's story-wise. It's very still catered towards a younger generation, I'd say. But it's fun.
Yeah.
That's all we could say. It's just fun.
It's like, yeah, and it's like those stupid, like, story sequences. You just, like, go to some, like, MMOs have the same problem where, like, when you, like, do a story quest, it's like you just go to some place and then, like, this really crappy dialogue cutscene comes out. And you're like, man, they could do a better job with this. And the game just, I don't know. It is a lot of fun, but it's also, yeah, it's really bland in a weird way. I will say everything outside of battling, the new catching mechanics, throwing balls into people's faces, sneaking around, alpha Pokemon, mounting, All those things, amazing. Like, they've done a really good job. It's super fun, really cool. Battling is literally the exact same as it's always been, but like, it's kind of different because, like, instead of going into like a separate screen, it's like kind of like in the open world still. I don't want to say open world, it's not open world, it's into the main world. So it's kind of cool, but still kind of like archaic. And then catching, it just becomes a menu game again. So yeah, in some ways, like, the game is like really, really tight. And then in some other ways, I'm kind of like, dude, you guys could have done a much, much better job. And one more thing. Crap, I lost it. Oh, Generation 9 Pokemon's coming out. Scarlet and Violet at the end of 2022. Woohoo. And I am not sure if it's going to be the Legends Arceus formula or if it's going to be more mainline and then with like Legends Arceus kind of technology thrown in. But we'll see. I thought it was going to be like Arceus, but then it sounds like from their website, catching Pokemon, it's all going to be going into battle first. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm guessing it'll follow the old style. And if anything, they might add more to the Pokemon Legends. Make that a series, maybe? I don't know.
That'd be cool. I don't love going back to the past. Like, yeah. But it's kind of cool. It's all right.
Yeah, I probably will skip Violet, and I forget the other one already.
Scarlet
and Violet. Because it's like, I don't know. I already kind of feel like it's just going to follow the same thing as every other one, where it's like, battle 8 bosses to get to the Elite Four, and then fight the Elite Four to win the game.
Yeah, I agree. I'm skipping it too.
Me too.
Also, F you, Nintendo.
Please sponsor us.
Dude, a Nintendo sponsor on NPC Talk would be sick. Yeah. I will edit that out if you sponsor us, Nintendo.
Nice.
F you, Nintendo.
Whoa. This is a sponsored podcast.
Oh.
Roger, sorry. Yeah, you can't do that.
My bad.
Roger, I'm curious how far you are now in Pla.
So in Pla, I'm kind of like, I'm about to go into a 2-star rank. I'm still at the part where you beat Alpha Cricketune. And that's where I'm currently at right now.
What are your first impressions?
So as a boomer, so the last Pokemon game that I played was still in 2D, so everything about Pla just feels really modern for me. Like, I'm really digging, like, oh, 3D models, and also the way that the Pokemon battles seamlessly go in and out with the open world. I do kind of agree with what Inkronaut said about the battle being archaic. We're just wondering, like, did you guys, I noticed that in Pla there's the new like style ability,
mm-hmm,
where you can attack fast or attack slow for more damage. Did you guys feel that mechanic changed things up in terms of the battle, or do you just keep doing the same thing you've always been doing?
They don't really change anything. Strong style is pretty nice, because if it helps you one shot something that you're not sure if it'll one shot.
Oh, I see.
Besides that, like, the whole like speed system in Pokemon is like a little confusing, because like sometimes I'll use an agility style, and then the enemy Pokemon will still go twice, and I'm like, all right. Like, why did I just do that?
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, I use strong style, and then if I'm punished for it, like, I'm like, what? It was worth it.
Okay.
Yeah, it is cool, though. It's new.
Yeah, I do like that. It seems that they're trying stuff out with the battle, but I just don't know like how much of an impact the style system is yet. But I kind of do think that the reason why Pokemon Battle feels archaic, it could be like, I don't know, I think it's just like a fundamental with how the battle system works in general for Pokemon, like a 1v1 or sometimes a 2v2. Another question that I'm curious with is like, when you guys battle, do you just spam the strongest attacks also?
Yep.
Like, you don't do any like sword dance or do any like support skills, right?
Nope.
Yeah, so I feel like I feel like that's also like maybe a partial reason. I know with like other JRPGs for turn battles, sometimes if they have more stuff going on aside from just keep on attacking, like healing or you know like buffing up or debuffs and like CC and stuff, the battle system gets more interesting with the complexity. And I kind of think that with Pokemon situation, like all the battle system ever devolves into is just like do your strongest attack and so forth. But I know like in the past, there was some like baton pass mechanics and like interesting gimmicks that you could do, or at least that's what I learned from like Smogon. But in terms of a PvE scenario, like I don't really know like if it's worth to do that instead of just spamming their strongest attacks, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll be honest, in other games though, I don't know, maybe it's because Pokemon was also probably one of my first RPGs. I never use other buff attacks or debuff attacks. Like
There's no point to, like,
or like even like in other franchises though. I always just use the attack skills.
That's true.
Me too.
I'm holding Atrian Odyssey as like the golden standard now.
So yeah.
It's like, oh wow, like Atrian Odyssey really opened my mind on how like turn-based battle systems can be like and how they can be really engaging. And like I know, like I think like Final Fantasy, like their battle system is kind of blah. I forgot what other, like SMT and Persona, like they're kind of more engaging because you need to know their weakness. And then also like the buffs, like the charge skill in Persona is actually really useful. And yeah, I don't know. I think like in the end, it's probably like some sort of numbers game that the developers need to play around with. I don't know. Ignore me.
I agree, and it's a little bit unfortunate because it's those other skills are so cool in PvP, but in PV it sucks. I have Etrian Odyssey, I think 4 for the 3DS, and I was going to play it because Roger was like, gold standard of RPGs, you got to try it. I went through the first dungeon, and it was fine. I did fine, everything was fine. And then I was too scared that the game series is too hard for me because I'm a smooth brain idiot. So I stopped playing because I was scared. But you beat them all, though.
Oh.
But because they're pretty hard, right? The series.
Yeah. I would usually say that early game is the hardest part, but once you get your party rolling with all the skills that they have and need, then it gets easier.
Mm. Like the OP combos and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then post game it gets hard again.
Hmm. Okay, maybe I'll give it a try again. For Pokemon Legends Arceus, the skills like Swords Dance and Bulk Up and all that stuff, it got even further nerfed in PvE because they only last like I think 2 or 3 turns now. It's
Oh.
Yeah, so there's like, because so like if you're fighting like a trainer with multiple Pokemon or like multiple wild Pokemon, like sometimes I would use like Swords Dance, so then I can just one shot everything else. But now like your stats return to normal after a few turns, so I'm like, there's even less of a point to doing it.
Oh.
Yeah. But it is kind of cool. You can go agile style and then do like Swords Dance, and then I believe maybe it lasts less turns when you do agile style. I don't know, but I always do agile style and then Swords Dance, so then my next turn comes faster and then I strong style.
I've never used a buff skill in my life.
Right. Let's rate the game. In the IRS, the Inkernaut rating system, where five is average, and I believe we said zero is the lowest, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, from 0 to 10, five is average. I gave Pokemon Legends Arceus a solid 6.5. I
And I
think,
went
yeah.
6.75.
I think it's like, so like four to six is like kind of like in that average tier of like, it could be like slightly above average, could be slightly below average, but like I would say a good chunk of games will kind of land in that four to six tier. I will say Pokemon Legends Arceus honestly probably deserves like a 5.5 or a 6, but because it's Pokemon and they tried really hard and stuff, and it is fun. Like it's the most fun I've had in a Pokemon game in a long time. So I give it just a little bit, just past the average area into a 6.5. So it's just enough where like I'll kind of recommend it to people, and it's like it's worth playing, but like I don't know, 6.5 felt good.
My scar is pending.
What do you think, Daniel? Why'd you give it a 6.75?
Oh, maybe partially to encourage Game Freak to make more games and innovate more. 6.5 felt a little mean and discouraging.
6.5 is good. I thought it was a little high.
I mean, yeah, it's a fun game. I think I did agree with you, like at the end of the main storyline, I did kind of start rushing through some parts. But I think I spent a pretty good amount of time just playing it and enjoying it, so I think I would be more generous. But 7 felt a little too much.
I agree.
So 6.5 felt a little too low, so I was like, okay, somewhere in the middle.
So yeah, 6.75, just like the amount of carats of the diamonds that you'll give your future wife. And speaking of diamonds and diamond rings, Elden Ring.
Wow.
I approve.
Let's talk about Elden Ring. Let's
Oh, I guess it's my time to shine.
go, Roger. Let's go. What do you think?
Ooh.
It's okay.
Next.
All right, ready, set, go.
Wait, what are we doing?
Go. Talk about Elden Ring. Ready, set, go.
Oh, okay. So I got Elden Ring weeks ago. On
Wait,
launch day.
I'm sorry. I think my internet is trash. Start over.
Okay. So, as you all know, or maybe only I know, I got Elden Ring on launch date and was kind of like so hype to it for me personally. For those that don't know, Elden Ring is the most recent game from From Software, who created the Dark Souls series Bloodborne, Sekiro. They also did Armored Core, but whatever.
Demon Souls.
Oh yeah, Demon Souls. And Elden Ring is pretty much Dark Souls but open world. I don't really know what's going on in the story, and I never cared.
True.
Just like Souls game. And my enjoyment of it so far has been like, it's I would say kind of feels back and forth, but mostly leaning towards the negative side. So this is what my first impressions were like. So the first hour, I was like, oh man, this is like Dark Souls, but open world. This is pretty cool. And then 5 hours in, I'm like, oh, hey, it's the first major boss. Wow, he wrecked me. Okay, I'm gonna go explore. And then 10 hours in, I'm like, oh, wow, this place is actually really big. It's pretty nice so far. 15 hours in, okay, I defeated that first boss. That was kind of tough. I don't know. Like, the first boss was kind of like where I was like, oh, no. They feel like Dark Souls 3 bosses, which is kind of like it's an okay kind of thing, but it kind of puts me on worry. And then 20 hours in, I'm like, I fought some more bosses. I'm like, okay, like they weren't so bad, but I think I'm a bit over leveled. And then 30 hours in, when I went into the Royal Capital and fought that Morgott boss. That's when I started to like snap. I'm like, okay. I was like, okay, like this. I don't really like where this is going now. And I think like the reason for that is I've kind of feel the boss design in general. They don't feel so good. Particularly, so I want to say that I started off as a strength build. And I was planning to do the Colossal Greatsword, like the Zweihänder. Since typically, like traditionally in the Souls games, I would always start off with the Zweihänder and do like a strength build. But over here in Elden Ring, the Colossal Greatswords are really, they feel like really underpowered. The bosses themselves are really aggressive and fast. Like blood, I would say like on terms of Bloodborne level or Sekiro level, and because they're on that level of fastness, the recovery time of the Zweihänder, is not enough, for you to block or dodge out of the boss's next hit. So essentially, like for the Colossal Greatswords, you're always gonna trade hits if you do like R1 or R2, And that part was kind of frustrating to me. And so like I had to switch out for a faster weapon, like the Lord's Sworn Straight Sword, which was okay. Like I used a Straight Sword all the way up to the Royal Capital. And then I think that was when I started to respec my build into a more dex and started following the meta of using bleed katanas. And yeah. I don't know, I could go a lot into the boss design and ranting about them. But aside from that, like I think the open world aspect of Elden Ring is actually pretty nice. It's really, there's a lot of content. I haven't explored everything. I'm 40 hours in, and I'm currently, I beat the Godskin duel last night. So that's like, I think that's like the 75% mark of the main story bosses.
Nice.
Yeah. And there's always some new stuff for me to see. And there's like a lot of secrets too. And I think like, so before going into Elden Ring, I personally don't like open world. Like the ones that are big open fields and they feel like really sandboxy. And going through Elden Ring, Elden Ring still has that kind of feeling that I don't like, but at least I can appreciate that trying to do something different, like with elevation. So it isn't a straight, like, go from point A to point B type of deal. I think that's what I hated a lot, too, about, like, Xenoblade Chronicles. But, yeah.
Is I guess Xenoblade is open worlds.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. Like, I hate that there's, like, a lot of walking around.
Yeah.
Xenoblade, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm too boomer or zoomer or whatever the kids call it these days.
Loomer.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
Okay. I have a few questions for you. Are you ready? Okay. So one of the praises for Elden Ring is that the open world design makes it more, I guess, inviting for people who found Souls games too difficult. Because now, if you find a boss too difficult, you can go somewhere else, do other things, and then come back when you're stronger, and then finish whatever content you weren't able to before. Or you can cheese the game by just going wherever you want, getting OP items and spells or whatever, and then using that to make the game a lot easier. So in some ways it's really cool because it gives you options and you can kind of like play the game however you want to play it. But obviously in a lot of ways it makes the game a lot easier, I would say. I don't know, I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I guess my question to the people who say that is what kind of builds they started off with. Like, if they started off with int builds, then I would say, yeah, I can see that. If they started off with strength builds, I would be like, okay, then if you did start off with a strength build, like, which weapons did you use? If you used the Colossal Greatswords, then I don't believe that. Because I think, like, currently, I guess I'm in the late game, and it kind of feels that my HP right now, my HP stat is at 40 vigor, and it feels like every boss just two shots me. And then I read on what other people felt, and then they're like, yeah, like I have 50 vigor, I have 60 vigor, and the bosses, like, it doesn't matter like what kind of armor I'm wearing, like heavy armor, whatever. The bosses will still two shot you. And so because of that, it's really scary to kind of fight up front as a melee. And I think that's why, perhaps that's why int builds could feel easier, because you could fight them at a range. And I don't know, it's like for melee, even if you go out and explore, you're still kind of gated by the weapon that you choose to upgrade. And there is a certain point in time in the game where you can't really upgrade every weapon to the maximum upgrade that you can have. Like, so for example, like, let's say I have a sword and then I can upgrade it into like a +6 sword or something. Or wait, is it +6? Or I need like the smithing stone +6 upgrade material, right?
Yeah.
And there is an item that you can give to the shopkeeper where she will sell those upgrade materials, but that item is locked behind a boss. And before that boss, like, there's only so many, like, limited amount of places where you can get that upgrade material. And so the problem is kind of like, if you want to commit with this weapon and dump over upgrade materials, like, it better be like a wise decision that you choose this weapon if you're having trouble with this boss, you know? Because you won't be able to have another way to get this upgrade material until you beat this boss.
I see.
So that's kind of like the dilemma. It was kind of like that too in Dark Souls 3, but I felt the bosses weren't too bad. But in Elden Ring, it kind of feels the bosses do a lot of damage, and it feels their HP pool is larger than the Dark Souls 3 bosses. Or that's what it feels like. I could be wrong about Dark Souls 3, but that's what it feels like to me. And so as a melee, it was kind of like I have to be really committed if I'm going to use this weapon or not, essentially. And even if I explore, like, there are small dungeons scattered here and there. And they usually would give, I don't really remember the rewards that I got. They could have been weapons, but even if there were weapons, like, I wouldn't be like, oh, like, this weapon is cool. I would abandon my, like, plus 13 sword over this plus 0 weapon, you know? Because my plus 13 sword would still do more damage. So yeah, I guess like that's one of the frustrating parts as a melee person. And I think that's why a lot of people are now going to katanas or any weapon with that bleed effect. Because bleed, in general, does a lot of DPS. And it's like, okay, like I know this weapon will do a lot of DPS already, so I'm just going to dump all of my upgrade materials on it. But yeah. There's like other things that I can say too. It doesn't feel like there's a middle ground of difficulty. It's either you cheese the game or the game cheeses you. like what I really like about Dark Souls 1, Bloodborne, and screw Dark Souls 2. I hate that game. Dark Souls 3 was okay, but what I like with the bosses was that it always felt like a back and forth dance between you and the boss. And whenever you beat the boss, it always felt like you beat it fairly with your own skill, rather than relying on the weapons that you, or the skills that you have. The OP-ness felt from your skill rather than your items, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But with Elden Ring, it's kind of like, oh, right, like, this Sway Hunter just sucks. I'm going to use this stomp skill and just destroy the boss in a minute or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's kind of like, okay, like, I'm going to summon my Mimic. The Mimic is really OP. I'm just going to use that. I'm just going to do stomp. I'm going to use this Bleed Katana. I don't give an AF, you know, like, just do all these cheesy stuff because I'm really tired of the boss cheesing me. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's like the high level of my rant. There's like subtle details to it and nuances, but yeah, like I'm hearing a lot of things on both sides, like, oh, the game is too easy, or like, oh, the game is like too hard, but I never hear anything in the middle, like, oh, like the difficulty is just right.
Yeah.
And that is a hard thing to say because of the fact that it is open world and not every player like will fight the boss at the same level. There will be a lot more variance to that. So like with the Souls game, it was like more streamlined.
Yeah.
And it's like with the developers, you can ensure that the player will be within this narrow scope of levels when they fight this boss. But with open world, it's like, oh, we gotta increase that scope now, but how should we balance the bosses? Like, maybe we should balance the bosses to the high end and screw over the other rest of the players who didn't explore as much or didn't find this specific OP item or stuff like that. And you can also, like, in Elden Ring, you can also literally skip the first boss as well. Like the first main story boss, and you can, I think you can skip the second main story boss too. Like I'm pretty sure I was able to kind of go to the third main story boss before I fought like the second main story boss. I don't know. It's back.
yeah. It's interesting because I think we had a conversation maybe on Discord and not on the podcast about like being able to get OP items early on. And it's really interesting watching that come to life.
Yeah.
I will say, you're so much better at Dark Souls 1 than I am, that we had like pretty different experiences, because mine was like, basically I was just getting thrashed and I was terrible at the game for, I would say maybe like 75% of it. And then I said, dude, I just can't do it. So I farmed souls for 2 days, like put so many stats into myself. And then the game just became easy. And I'm like, I don't know if I played this game properly, but that's just what happened. And yeah, that's how I played it.
I felt like my experience was similar with Demon's Souls, since that was my first Souls game. But eventually, I don't know, like something just clicked afterwards. And it was like, oh, I think I sort of get this game now. And then from there on out, I was having a better time. I played Dark Souls 2. And then I was like, oh, man, screw Dark Souls. And then Dark Souls 3 came out and Bloodborne came out. I was like, oh, okay, like Bloodborne is really cool. And then I was like, okay, I'm having a good time again. And then Elden Ring came out. I'm like, okay, screw the Souls series. But you, yeah, I don't know.
And you think it's more of a game design decision that is bothering you rather than like, I don't know.
Yeah. It just feels more of a balance issue, in my opinion. And I think the balance issue is just going to be a fundamental issue with open world in general.
Yeah.
Like, aside from, like, the combat and stuff, I do think Elden Ring is really impressive. But other than that, like, every time I go back to Elden Ring and find a boss, I'm like, oh, okay, we're doing this cheesy method all over again. I've got a cheese boss. So yeah, it never feels like I'm really engaged in actually learning the boss. Because they have like so many like weird hyper-tracking attacks, like gap closers, weird 360s, endless combos with like no opportunity to really start your stuff. Like you can only just get like one hit in. This is speaking from a melee perspective. But yeah, it's like, it feels so darn tedious that I'm like, okay, like I had enough of this. This just feels really draining. Especially like a lot of bosses are similar to each other. And now that I'm in late game, I'm like, okay, is this boss number blah, blah, blah all over again? I'm just going to cheese it. I don't want to deal with more of its BS.
And, yeah. Dang. So what would you... So far, your inconclusive Elden Ring IRS rating.
Oh, 9. Just kidding. no, maybe add it up. Probably like 7. Even though I trashed it so much, I do think like it is a good game, but I think it's a sucky Souls game.
That's fair. You do love your Souls games. Your good Souls games.
Yeah, I like. Yeah. Maybe I'll give it a 6. 6 to 7. 8. Maybe 9. No, let's go back to 7. 7.5. 10.
Nice.
8. Okay, I'm done.
All right. And on that note, I think that concludes the episode of NPC Talk. Is Daniel even here anymore?
Oh.
Alright.
I know absolutely nothing about Elden Ring except there's this laser move that does like 20k damage or something.
Dude, you're the one that showed us everything we know about the game, meta-wise.
That's definitely not true. Roger knows everything.
I only know little things.
I don't believe you.
Oh, I learned everything from Daniel, so
nice. There's that.
I learned that new farming place from Daniel, too.
Yeah.
Which has now propelled you into many levels higher.
Yeah. Gotta keep up with the cheese.
I'm lactose intolerant.
True. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to yet another episode of NPC Talk. If you're listening, email us. Just email us at npctalkpodcast@gmail.com. Just do it so I know that there are people listening. That's more than zero.
Basically, we're lonely.
We're lonely. This is a sad podcast. Please do it. And do not say, how's the podcast going, when it's still live, you know where the website is, and you're not listening. Very offensive. All right. That's the end of my rant. Thank you all for listening. And Nintendo, please sponsor us. All right.
Or Sony or Microsoft.
Yeah, anyone.
Whoever, first come, first serve.
Yeah, and Microsoft, if you sponsor us, we will continue saying F you, Nintendo. So there's that.
Nice.
All right. Nice. See y'all later. Bye-bye.
Peace.